For today's GeoQuiz, we're looking for a city on the north coast of New Guinea. On a map, the island of New Guinea displays its split personality. The eastern half is occupied by the nation of Papua New Guinea. The western half includes the Indonesian provinces of Papua and West Papua. It's a bit confusing, but we're looking for Papua's provincial capital. It's located right at the edge of Yosu Darso Bay. The city was the starting point for freelance reporter Donna Harmon's recent trek into the Indonesian jungle. Ready for the answer?
My walkabout got underway in Jayapura, which is the capital of Papua.
So Jayapura is the answer to our quiz. Harmon's group set out from there to explore some of the most remote parts of Indonesia.
We went down the Brazza River for about 12 hours, which is a super long time to be on a canoe. And then we went by foot with a set of porters and a guide and a cook into the jungle, walking.
As a reporter, what did you want to learn in the rainforest among these native people there? What did you want to find out?
First of all, I mean, it was a very difficult trek into the jungle. It was, you know, it took 7 days getting in and out and around. But nonetheless, I just wanted to see who are these people who are really living a much more primitive life than any I have come into contact with or experienced, and see how they live and why they continue to live that way when the rest of the world is becoming more global villagey.
This is one of the most biodiverse regions of the world. Describe the tension that you saw while you were there between, you know, kind of these species that are being overhunted and, you know, a really rich wildlife.
Well, the richness that I saw, first of all, was mainly in insects. I have never seen or felt so many insects in my life, and I really did get bit by everything. But really, one of the most amazing parts of this trip happened. We were walking through the jungle. It's all very, very slow. And then we hear this sort of squeaking of a bird. And the guides note that this bird is squeaking in that particular way. It's a call that the bird has seen a big monitor lizard. So, I mean, I wouldn't have known any of that. I didn't even really hear the bird. But anyway, they're so attuned to things that I'm not at all attuned to. And then they drop all our bags and go racing off into the jungle, which is also incredible because you can't see anyone because it's so dense. Once they've moved like 10 feet away from you, you feel totally lost and helpless. So they all run up, and then three of the porters, these young boys, sort of like shimmy up the trees faster than I could run, you know, in a tracksuit and sneakers, and they're all barefoot. They're shimmying up the trees, and then they're sort of calling out, not verbally, but in sounds, to the other porters that have remained on the ground, hawk, hawk, stuff like that. And they're directing them towards the monitor lizard, which they see, even though I can't even practically even see my hand. I mean, they just have this ability to live and function in an environment that I completely can't. So they call each other and then they race around and jump from trees to trees. They see the monitor lizard, they corner it, and then they all are down on the ground. They all pick up these sticks, and with the sticks and with their bare hands, they beat this lizard to death and pull out its tongue because there's poison in the tongue, which I think could, I don't know exactly what. And that was it. It was like this glorious hunt. And that is how they hunt, by the way, except for with bows and arrows, but they didn't have bows and arrows right then. And that was it. And they were such excitement, and we were so excited. We just kept going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was this amazing scene.
Did they take the lizard with them?
Of course. Yeah. Adam, my colleague who was with me, was like, I don't want that lizard touching my stuff. But, of course, they put the lizard right on top of our bags. And then, like, we were living up in these treehouses. So we shimmy up, pull ourselves with all our might up into the treehouse. And, yeah, and then they cooked this lizard and we ate it. We didn't eat it. They ate it for the remainder of the trip.
Now, something else that the people in this part of the world, at least on this side of the island of New Guinea, eat is each other, at least people from other ethnic groups. Did you encounter anybody who had experiences with cannibalism?
I didn't see it myself. However, I did ask people that we met about it, and they said, you know, with ease that that is correct, that they do. They don't eat one another within their tribe, but say the Korowai will eat the Kombai. The Kombai might eat the Korowai as part of, it's for protein and for food, but it's also a ritualistic thing. Then they eat people who they think are witches. So they go on a hunt for someone that they've heard is a witch. They kill that person and they eat them. And I asked someone, you know, and I was very, you know, trying to be careful about it. I don't know if this will offend you. And I was telling Isaac, the translator, to translate to the next guy, you know, and if this is the wrong thing to say, please don't ask this. But do you eat people? And they're like, oh, yes, the other week we ate this guy from over there in that tree. So I was like, really? It was incredible. So I don't know. They say that they do. In some of the literature, it says they say that because they know that outsiders, white people who come in, want to hear something like this. But I have no way of knowing if that's true or not.
I mean, considering this is one of the few remaining primitive societies in the world, did you get a sense that they're moving into this global village?
No, I didn't. If it took me 7 days to get to them, it'll take them 3.5 days to get out. They understand how to get through the forest in a way I don't. So they're not that far away. They would get to a place where you could see a motorcycle or a telephone or something like that. And they haven't been there. And the kids don't go to school. No one wears any clothing. So they really are remaining in their small environment and not going out. And I can't say I know why that is. I think that the government leaves them be. They have enough food to survive. So they don't really have a reason. There's nothing pushing them out. I guess curiosity would push them out, but it hasn't done there. I mean, it doesn't feel like there's been much change forever.
Donna Harmon, just back from a trip to Papua Province, Indonesia, on the island of New Guinea. Thanks very much for speaking with us, and welcome back.
Thank you very much.